Hi, everybody. Dr. Sue here. Have a great show for you today. We are going to talk about parent alienation and how it derives from generations before us and how we can help you change it and move on to a better place within your high conflict divorce and parent alienation situation, because we can change this, but we need to have a better understanding of the generational pattern of it, because that is what it is all about in many cases. But before I get into the meat of today's show, and I have two great experts on with me to really give you a lot of great information about that, I want to open the show today by sharing a very powerful personal experience I had this week with a client of mine. And it affects all of you who have been through or going through a high conflict divorce or alienation situation. I did some self-reflection. It's something we should all do sometimes. And I realize that the tools and the tips that I give here every week on the show or every day to my clients is not the most important aspect of reuniting with your children. And I'm sure that that is very surprising for you to hear from me, but it is the truth. Those tips are very important, but it's not the only thing that is. And I say all the time that you have to see your children, hear your children, validate your children's pain. And yes, that is all true. But this week, I was reminded of how much targeted parents need to also be seen, heard, and validated as you are trying to reconnect with your children. And I don't ever want to forget that again, how important it is for you, the targeted parent, to be seen, heard, and validated. And I recognize this because I cried with my client this week. I cried with her for almost an hour on the phone as she revealed to me her dark place of pain over the loss of her children. And I felt her pain on a different level than I ever had before. I had a front row seat to the feelings of powerlessness, fear, and helplessness that so many of you struggle with day after day. And I not only saw, but felt and learned that sometimes you must feel that no one sees your pain, sees your tears, hears your cries for your children, and it can nearly destroy you, even years later as you're fighting to get them back. And I was moved, and I was touched at a deeper level. I felt as though I was taken into a journey, a place where I had never gone before, but a place that I needed to go to understand more what you need from me to move forward in these situations. My client's pain, however, did not begin with her children. It began a long, long time ago with her own family, where she was the child that suffered through alienation, and those wounds are still not healed in her, even at the age of 56. And now in her own life with her own children, the pattern has repeated. And she's trying very, very hard to look at herself and do the work that she needs to do to move there, to a place where she can be there for her children in a way where they can receive it. And I'm sure her story sounds very much like yours. So I want you to know something, that today I see every single targeted parent differently. I hear you differently, and I admire you on a whole new level for getting up every single day and continuing to work so hard, carrying that pain within yourself to heal your relationship with your children. A friend of mine, who has inspired me lately. Actually, she's a new friend of mine that has come into my life, has taught me a lot about myself and a lot about how I can become more powerful in your lives. And she asked me this week, think about this. What would happen if you were more powerful than the pain that is inside of you? And that just lit me up. It's a great question. What would you do if you were more powerful than the pain? Because it's not just about the pain. It's about you are more powerful from the pain. You can become more powerful than the pain. And you can become different than you are now. And we're going to talk more about that in the shows that come in the next few weeks. But maybe, just maybe, you're not healing because you're trying to be who you were before the trauma. But that person doesn't exist anymore. That was a person you once knew. Who is the person you are going to become now? So I'm asking you to breathe life into that person now. Start today. Start breathing life into the person that you want to become. And while you're becoming, just be where you are right now. Be where you are, because that's probably where you need to be. And then you can become something more as you begin to look at yourself. So I'm asking you today to take my hands, take my words, and together I want us to grow and become whatever you will be, because it may lead you exactly to where you want to go. With that said, today we're going to talk about the generational patterns that have led to these parental alienation situations. And it is my hope with this knowledge that we bring to you today that we can stop, or we can start learning more about this journey, so we can stop these generational patterns from occurring over and over again, where we're caught in these high conflict parent alienation situations that don't really need to exist. So I want you to know that I feel you, I see you, and I am here for you to take you to a place of healing. So with that said, I would like to bring in our expert today, who has been on the show before, Lenore Myers. She is from Divorce Done Differently. And then later in the show, Dr. Amy Moore is going to join us as well to talk about these generational patterns and how they affect you in the choices that you are making and the way that you are parenting. So, Lenore, I'd like to bring you into the show. Welcome.
Hi, Sue. So great to be here, as always.
It's great to have you here. You are someone that truly believes that high conflict divorce and alienation situations did not just occur out of the blue.
Oh, exactly. No, not at all.
That there are generational patterns to this.
Most definitely. I came across some information a few years ago that was kind of shocking to me. I guess I missed it in freshman biology class. But what I learned was that a woman, when she's in utero with her mother, all of her eggs are formed during that time.
Okay.
So everything that was going on during the time that my mom was in my grandmother's womb was passed down to me genetically. So, I mean, it's not just emotionally things get passed down. It's genetically. So people are sort of predisposed to certain behaviors. And then when they're born, their template for every relationship is watching their mother and father together.
Mm-hmm.
And their mother chose their father for a certain reason. And that's the start of the generation repeating itself.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of times when I'm working with high conflict cases, I will hold up a book called The Unexpected Legacy of Divorce. And it was a 25-year study that was done that actually followed patterns that happened in divorcing families. They followed the children. And the majority of children that came from divorced families also got divorced themselves.
Right.
Because basically, you can't do what you don't know.
Yeah.
And I can, you know, we can all relate to that. None of us, as I say, none of us came from the Brady Bunch. We all came from the Banana Bunch.
I know. It's a great thing that you just said there. There is no such thing as the Brady Bunch.
No.
And not everybody in their families have had instances or situations that were not pleasant. Right?
Right. Everybody has their share of pain, and I liked your quotes about saying, what if you became more powerful than your pain?
Yes.
And that is really, you stop being the victim.
True.
And you become not just the survivor,
mm-hmm.
but the overcomer. Like you learn and you grow.
Yes.
From what you've been through. And a lot of times I like to say, look at all the beautiful crooked trees. They've survived by being battered by all different elements, but they still reach for the sky. And not every tree has to grow straight. In fact, like I said, the most beautiful trees are the ones that grow crooked.
Yes.
And so it's okay. I think people need to embrace their scars rather than hide from them so they can heal them. And the problem is that, no kid comes with, an owner's manual. You kind of have to learn on your own.
Sometimes we wish they did.
Yes, but they're people. You know, that's kind of the first thing you have to recognize. They're their own person.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to take them for where they are and respond to them in that way. But it's very hard because we are patterned by our families.
We are. Think about your own self. I have patterns of my mother and my father within me, don't you?
Oh, most definitely. There's a saying that says, I put my arm in my sleeve and out came my mother's hand. I remember, as a new mother, things were coming out of my mouth that I thought, that's my mom. Where'd that come from?
Right.
But, it's the good and the bad come out, and you have to focus on the good. But in these situations where it's the generational alienation,
yes,
of course that's going to happen. They don't know any other way to do that.
Yeah, it's very interesting that you say that because I usually ask people that call, what was your relationship with your parents? And I would say, Lenore, that about 80 to 90% of the people say it was horrible. Or they were alienated from one of their parents as well. Or there was a break in communication. Or there was no communication. Or they felt as though their parents were not listening to them. Well, that's the same kind of stuff that we hear from the children, from their children now, about them. But I do believe a lot of the parents who are suffering now from the alienation have said to themselves, I want to do better. I didn't want to be like my parents. But yet some of their behaviors have come across that way. And I think that's also because it's so difficult to look at ourselves to change that. Would you agree with that?
Most definitely. It's very hard to change. It's so much easier to blame other people, and it's so much easier to just keep doing what we've always done. And it actually is really important for people to do their own personal work before they become parents, because when you're in the throes of parenting, you are, you know, responding to survival at some points, especially with little kids and infants. And you're setting up patterns that you didn't even know were automatic to you until they start happening. So it really is important, one, to do your personal work, not only for your kids, but also that when you're picking your partner,
yes,
you're picking somebody who's going to be a healthier mirror for you than what you would normally be picking from what your family pattern is.
That's an excellent point. And at the same time, it's very hard to do that when you're not healed yourself.
Yes.
Or didn't work on yourself. And you know, when people are getting married, they're young, they're in their 20s or 30s, and they're not going or thinking or going to therapy thinking to themselves, I need to pick this kind of spouse or I need to pick that kind of spouse. They're thinking, I'm in love with this person, we're going to have this wonderful life together. And then what ends up happening sometimes is you end up marrying or being with somebody that represents the toxic person within your family.
It's most times.
Most times. I think I got lucky. I didn't, but go ahead.
No, I mean, not completely, but there's always going to be snippets of it.
Yes.
And it really, I mean, I got lucky too. I did. But I think that's because my husband and I, well before we met, said, we want something different than the marriages we experienced as we were growing up. We want something different, and we wanted it so much that we actually put in our own individual work. And that's probably because, you know, in part because I saw what family law, you know, what families went through.
Right.
And I didn't want that to happen to me. Plus, I wanted to heal those situations. And how can you heal a situation unless you're somewhat healed yourself? And that's been my goal ever since, is to take things out of that adversarial system, which just preys on all of these feelings of victimization, inadequacy, alienation. I mean, the adversarial system pits people against one another.
Yes.
It sets people up to alienate one another and their children.
We've talked about that many times here.
And that is why I do the work that I do, to heal the family so that, you know, I'm part of their solution. I'm part of them turning the tide. You know me in metaphors. One of my metaphors.
Go for it. I love your metaphors.
Is you can change the course of a river by just turning the stream.
Right.
But you can't turn the course. It's an earth moving event. So you can't turn the stream using toothpicks and teaspoons. You need pickaxes and shovels. And what does that come down to? What I say to the people is, it's therapy.
Yes.
You need to do that deep work so that later on, generationally, it's going to benefit your family.
Well, you see that, you know, that reminds me of what I was talking about at the beginning of the show when I was crying with my client this week. And in the midst of our crying and talking and compassion and empathy, she said to me, I don't want you to be disappointed in me. And I said, I would never be disappointed in you. You've done so much amazing work on yourself. Wasn't me really she was asking that from. It was the relationship with her mother many years ago.
Of course.
But she carries that with her still every single day. And there's where the work needs to be done.
Oh, definitely. It's because, you know, it's the story of the wire monkey. Like, you need that connection.
And she needed that from her mother and did not receive it.
Right, right.
And that is why, at times, we don't know how to give it. even to our children, because we never received it.
Right. You can't do what you don't know. But and you have to, people in that situation have to do such deep work to heal themselves and give it to themselves.
Yes.
The old self-parenting kind of therapy mm-hmm. from years ago. And it's hard because that's such a sore spot for people emotionally.
Yes.
And when you're doing therapy, you're really picking at that wound. And it's painful.
It's painful.
It's really painful.
And it takes a lot of strength, inner strength,
yes.
to look at yourself and see where you were hurt and come to terms with it. I mean, who wants to do that while you're in the midst of all this high conflict and you want your child back? But, you know, I think you and I and Dr. Amy, who's going to come on after the break, we are all in the same mindset that you must work through that in some way to heal yourself, because that in turn heals that relationship with your children and other people in your life as well.
Exactly. I mean, if you think about it, most parents would do anything for their children, anything. And that is, I think, where people are able to actually do that work, because
yeah.
they might not be able to do it for themselves, but they'll do it for their children.
Right.
Because it's really a question of survival. I mean, this is an emotional cancer, and mm-hmm. and you're the cure. And that's, I think.
Wow, that was a great way of saying that.
And if parents can look at it in that way, that can be very empowering.
Mm-hmm.
That they are the cure, and it's not just for their children. I mean, another thing I say to clients is, you know, your great grandchildren, you're lucky if they know your name. They mm-hmm. probably won't know where you're buried, but they will know this about you.
Yes.
They will know what kind of parents you were to their grandparents.
Yes.
And that's part of your legacy.
Your legacy.
That's the only legacy.
Yeah.
So if that's the monument that is being built, why not make it a beautiful monument to you? Yeah, it might have started out in the dirt. It might be painful. It might be a lot of hard work. Mm. But can you imagine how beautiful that's going to be?
And what can become of it?
Yes.
And that's what we're talking about today. All right, everybody. Great first segment. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, Dr. Amy Moore is going to be joining us. We'll be back in just a moment.
Divorce is painful enough without it becoming the War of the Roses. Did you know that divorcing through the court system leaves most couples not only with a hole in their heart, but also a hole in their pockets? But there is another option. You can choose to have your divorce done differently, where everyone wins. Hello, I'm Lenore Myers of Divorce Done Differently, where my goal is to be part of your solution instead of part of your problem. With my 35 years of experience as a family law attorney and certified mediator, I can help you and your spouse have your divorce done differently, where you will be in control of making your financial and custody agreements in an economical, informed, amicable way without court involvement. Contact me, Lenore Myers, at divorcedonedifferentlypa.com, or just call me at 215-470-3121 so you and I can discuss free of charge the variety of options available to you and your spouse to help you have your divorce done differently.
Getting divorced to need help with a family law problem? Turn to me, family law attorney Randy Rubin. I'm an advocate for my clients' goals with compassion and zealous advocacy. What makes me special is that I know divorce professionally and personally. I'm a seasoned trial attorney with the added benefit of significant experience in business and real estate. I can assist you with identifying your goals and will seek an early resolution when possible. My practice includes divorce, equitable distribution, support, premarital and postnuptial counseling, custody, protection from abuse, and adoption. I litigate in courts in Bucks County, Chester County, Delaware County, Montgomery County, and Philadelphia County, and throughout Pennsylvania and Southern New Jersey. Call me today to schedule your consultation at 215-400-3121. 2827 or email me at rrubin@clair.com. You will not be disappointed.
Women who attend the Second Saturday Workshop leave our classroom with hope, information, and support. Every month, women gather at locations in suburban Philadelphia and South Jersey to get the facts and information they need from attorneys, therapists, and financial planners. We do not promote or encourage divorce. If a woman finds herself on that path, we want her to have the information she needs to make good decisions. For more information, go to secondsaturday.com or call 215-699-6993.
Let's face it, going through a divorce is stressful. Anxiety about your future has your heart pounding and your mind running a mile a minute. You may feel like fear and worry have taken over your life. How are you coping? Taking medication, currently in therapy, or relying on friends or loved ones for advice and support? Feeling exhausted and just want to feel peaceful in your mind and body again? Try meditating. Adding a few minutes of meditation to your daily routine works miracles for people experiencing the emotional turmoil and physical stress of divorce. After your very first session, you'll notice a decrease in your stress level. With practice, you'll become calmer and less anxious. You'll have more energy, your thoughts will become less critical, and you'll begin to feel happier and more patient. Hi, I'm Jason Blau, your meditation coach. Let's work together to invite peace and calmness back into your life. For more information or to get started today, call me at 215-370-6100 or visit my website at www.mymeditation.coach.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Dr. Sue, and today we are talking about how parent alienation and high conflict divorce can be a generational pattern. And Lenore Myers is here from Divorce Done Differently. And she really does help people through divorce in a different way. She is a lawyer, but also a mediator. But she's part of the team here and understands how it has to be done. That it's an emotional journey, and two people are involved in this. But while we were talking off during the break, we were saying, too, how much compassion we have for these targeted parents, because they once were in the shoes of their children now. And they were experiencing this, and they're reliving their own trauma again through this. And so I would like to bring in Dr. Amy Moore to the show right now, who understands this generational pattern and how it affects the parent and the child over time. And I think she's going to lend a lot of great information to the discussion you and I are having today, Lenore.
I'm sure. I can't wait to hear.
Hi, Doc.
I learn something all the time.
I know. You were just telling me that. Hi, Dr. Amy.
Hi, Dr. Sue. Hi, Lenore. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Yes, we can hear you very well. Great. And I'm very excited to have you on the show today. I know that you know a tremendous amount of information about this, and I'm wondering if anything that we've said so far has resonated with you in terms of how the alienated parent right now is feeling and is parenting their own children.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting because when I heard Lenore say, you know, when before you have children, right, it's so important to get therapy and, you know, in terms of mate selection even, right? Mm-hmm. We pick our partner, you know, because we're sort of kind of attracting and getting going toward what's familiar, right? In terms of our own families and the dynamics that we're used to. And so, of course, we pick people that are similar to what we're familiar to, and then we have children and then have a family where we're just kind of living out and playing out the things that have happened. And I say all the time to people, when we have unresolved issues in our relationships with our parents, when we have children, all of those issues pop out and start flaring up because we're living out our childhood with our children, basically. We're reliving it. So I absolutely agree that people should go into therapy before having children, but a lot of people don't.
Right. Yeah, right? They're not really signing up for that so quickly.
Yeah. It's not the norm, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really not the norm. And one of the things that I help my clients with is actually something called differentiation, and where you sort of are going through this process of looking at your family of origin from a different lens, like standing apart, being able to look at it from adult eyes and integrating what it felt like and all of your experiences and sort of what your narrative was with what you actually know to be true now. And sort of that's that process of being able to have empathy and objectivity and, you know, kind of be able to see people for who they are objectively, not just all bad or all good, and be able to be in relationship with emotional response rather than reactivity, right? So
I have a question for you, Dr. Amy.
Yeah.
For something that you just said. Sure. If you grew up in a family where you felt as though your parents did not have empathy for you, did not see you, did not hear you, did not validate you, isn't it very difficult when you become a parent to parent your child without wanting all of those things from your child?
That's what ends up happening, actually, right? When you don't get them from your parent, a lot of times people will look to their children to give them, get their needs met. That's when people aren't aware that they're doing that.
Right.
Then the child, they're like kind of looking down for help when they should be giving down rather than taking from down.
Yes. You know, you said that on another show of mine. And yesterday I was on a call with somebody who said that was one of the most powerful things that they have ever heard on one of my shows. Can you say that again? You said it's not about giving down.
Right. So, or taking from down. So like, you know, when you look at generationally, if you were to kind of put in your mind, you know, your family map, and you were to put your parents above you and your grandparents above them, right? And,
yes.
and your great grandparents above them, you know, when you look at that and you kind of go, okay, so here's this generation, you look at like giving should come from the top down, not taking, right? So when you give down.
I see. Yes.
Above gives down to the generation below, right? And so if you go and you look down and instead of putting your hands down to give, you put your hands down to take, that's unnatural.
Right? That's like an aha moment for me right now.
Wow. That's so true. I mean, it's called parentifying children.
Right.
You know, when they can't come into this world, your job is to give to them. Their whole emotional survival, not only physical, is focused on them. So,
but if you were not a person that was given to, ladies, how do you learn to give to others in a way where they can receive it and the parent can receive it too?
You have to learn how to give it to yourself first. You have to reparent yourself before you can really give that, because if not, then you're just kind of taking, right?
Yes. Talk more about that.
You have to give that to yourself.
Talk more about how you can reparent yourself. I'm really glad we got to that. And I think that is a really big point about this generational pattern of why this continues to exist within these families, where they're not doing it on purpose. They're not trying to parent in a way that alienates their children. But it's happening. So how can they reparent themselves to not do that?
Well, I think that the first thing to really making any change is awareness, because one of the reasons why it's happening is because of a lack of awareness of those unmet needs that are happening, and potentially in a lack of awareness that the unmet needs are being sought after in your relationship with your child rather than where it was supposed to be, where it was supposed to come from. Right.
Yes, I can understand that.
And most people, we want to do, we want to give our kids what we didn't have. Well, that's every parent. We want our kids.
I do, don't
right?
you?
But good parents, right? Yeah, good parents.
Yes, we all do.
Give our kids what we didn't have. But how can we give them what we don't know? You can only really do what you know. So people end up unknowingly and making the mistake of repeating these patterns because they don't know about them. So the first thing is you have to become aware of what these patterns even are and how they've affected you and the fact that they're potentially still being played out. And that's where that self-work really comes in. And the reparenting of yourself is about learning how to show up for yourself when you have a need.
Right.
And find where in your body that need is. What is it that you need? Identify it, locate it, and then learn how to really love on it and give yourself compassion and that nurturing that you're looking for. And, you know, whatever that is, whatever you're looking for, nurturing, love, validation, connection. You know, people don't know how to do that within themselves. And then they seek it and make someone else outside of them responsible for meeting their needs.
Right.
And when we do that as a parent and make our child responsible for meeting our needs, well, no wonder the child doesn't want to be in relationship with you as soon as they possibly can, right?
Yes.
And
they felt responsible for meeting your needs?
No, that's what we're saying.
Right. I love what you said about finding your body where that is, because there is, you know, there are places in your body where those emotional traumas are stored, and that, you know, just beyond, it's not just talk therapy that helps people release that. It's you know, there's physical ramifications that also have to be released and healed as well.
Yeah, when I think when you shut down your own emotions, your body stores those emotions that you're repressing all throughout your body, whether that is in your head from headaches, your stomach, your heart, wherever it is, it's stored in there and it needs to be released and worked on. What I hear us saying today is that these generational gaps can be filled if we learn to look at ourselves in relation to how we're parenting our children. Is that correct, Dr. Amy?
Yeah. And it is not an easy task.
Yeah. Why is it so difficult? Why is it so difficult in your opinions, both of you, to look at your own pain from how your parents parented you?
Well, I mean, for one thing, we have, you know, sort of this biological system called our defenses that protects us from seeing ourselves in any way that we don't like, that's uncomfortable, right? And so we're protecting ourselves as humans from pain and discomfort.
Yes.
You know what I mean? A lot of people say they don't want to go into their mind alone. That's like scarier than a dark alley.
It is.
I think it's kind of like, when you have to look at yourself and what you see, that parent that traumatized you in your reflection, it's like seeing a monster. It's terrifying and frightening. The last thing you wanted to be was that person. And here you're doing the same thing that was done to you. That has to be, it's so painful. And, you know, when you're talking about differentiating and being the adult, I think that sounds like a wonderful way for people to not be so afraid of it, and that they can also see some of the good things that came from their parents, and then also see that in themselves. Because I think, you know, everybody wants to be everything their child needs.
And it's not all black and white, as you said. There were some painful things that happened, but there were also some good things that your parents did as well. Mm-hmm. It's not one or the other, but in trauma, we tend to get stuck in the horrible things that happened, and we don't look so much at the good things. We hold on to the painful things because they hurt so much. And I think a lot of parents that are repeating the same patterns as they were once parented don't consciously know that they're doing it. But like 100%. Dr. Amy said, we're doing these shows so they can become aware of it to change it now.
Mm-hmm.
And can they change it, Dr. Amy and Lenore? Can we now work with parents so they can help their children change their pattern as parents as they go through life? Even if there's alienation going on right now with their children, can we change that, Dr. Amy?
100%. Mm-hmm. 100%.
And I agree too. And I think what Dr. Amy said is awareness is the key. And
yes.
And so, from where I come from, that's what I want people to become aware of. Like when I start talking to parents who are in high conflict, mm-hmm. and I start bringing these things up, and I say to them, you know, do you want your children to have to go through this pain?
Right.
And many other things. And I know I've hit a chord with them when they start crying. I hate to say it.
Okay. No, you're right.
I'm not trying to, because when they come in front of me and they're all angry and defensive, you know that you're not getting through. But then when they start crying, I feel like that's a way for me to have planted a seed. And then hopefully somebody like Dr. Amy mm-hmm. could step in, or you, Dr. Sue,
yes.
and help that healing process,
yes.
which is so essential, because kids are the building block of our generation.
Absolutely.
We need healthier, emotionally healthier kids to have an emotionally healthier society.
Couldn't agree more with that. And, you know, I want to backtrack again to the experience I had with my client. Sitting there with her and being with her while she was crying and letting go of a lot of her feelings about her past, how she was not seen by her mother, how she did not feel validated or mattered, and releasing that pain, which she needed to. She's like a new person this week. Isn't that amazing, Dr. Amy?
That's amazing. Yeah. That's
what, why is that?
I've seen it so many times, so it's great. I mean, it's transformative.
And
when
I give her.
Really see.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't want to cut you off. But I do just want to say that I give my clients so much praise, and so I'm so proud of her for one reason only. She allowed herself to go there. She broke through that fear and allowed
That's
herself
amazing.
To feel that 40 years later.
That's amazing.
But after that, so much good stuff started coming this week, things that did not come before. And that's what I'm saying. I feel like all of us here today, even though we're in different professions, but we do the same work within the field. We are here with our hands and our arms open saying, please let us help guide you here for yourself, for your own healing, and for your children's healing as well, and for their children, and for their children's children. All right, everybody, this is a fabulous show today. I am learning so much myself. I'm feeling a lot today, too. Lenore, you are, too. I see it within you.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
There's a different vibe in here today.
Mm-hmm.
We will be back in just a moment.
Divorce is painful enough without it becoming the War of the Roses. Did you know that divorcing through the court system leaves most couples not only with a hole in their heart, but also a hole in their pockets? But there is another option. You can choose to have your divorce done differently, where everyone wins. Hello, I'm Lenore Myers of Divorce Done Differently, where my goal is to be part of your solution instead of part of your problem. With my 35 years of experience as a family law attorney and certified mediator, I can help you and your spouse have your divorce done differently, where you will be in control of making your financial and custody agreements in an economical, informed, amicable way without court involvement. Contact me, Lenore Myers, at divorcedondifferentlypa.com or just call me at 215-470-3121 so you and I can discuss free of charge the variety of options available to you and your spouse to help you have your divorce done differently.
Let's face it, going through a divorce is stressful. Anxiety about your future has your heart pounding and your mind running a mile a minute. You may feel like fear and worry have taken over your life. How are you coping? Taking medication, currently in therapy, or relying on friends or loved ones for advice and support? Feeling exhausted and just want to feel peaceful in your mind and body again? Try meditating. Adding a few minutes of meditation to your daily routine works miracles for people experiencing the emotional turmoil and physical stress of divorce. After your very first session, you'll notice a decrease in your stress level. With practice, you'll become calmer and less anxious. You'll have more energy, your thoughts will become less critical, and you'll begin to feel happier and more patient. Hi, I'm Jason Blau, your meditation coach. Let's work together to invite peace and calmness back into your life. For more information or to get started today, call me at 215-370-6100 or visit my website at www.mymeditation.coach.
Women who attend the Second Saturday Workshop leave our classroom with hope, information, and support. Every month, women gather at locations in suburban Philadelphia and South Jersey to get the facts and information they need from attorneys, therapists, and financial planners. We do not promote or encourage divorce. If a woman finds herself on that path, we want her to have the information she needs to make good decisions. For more information, go to secondsaturday.com or call 215-699-6993.
Getting divorced and need help with a family law problem? Turn to me, family law attorney Randy Rubin. I'm an advocate for my clients' goals with compassion and zealous advocacy. What makes me special is that I know divorce professionally and personally. I'm a seasoned trial attorney with the added benefit of significant experience in business and real estate. I can assist you with identifying your goals and will seek an early resolution when possible. My practice includes divorce, equitable distribution, support, premarital and postnuptial counseling, custody, protection from abuse, and adoption. I litigate in courts in Bucks County, Chester County, Delaware County, Montgomery County, and Philadelphia County, and throughout Pennsylvania and southern New Jersey. Call me today to schedule your consultation at 215-400-2827 or email me at rrubin@clair.com. You will not be disappointed.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dr. Sue, and joining me today in studio is Lenore Myers. She is from Divorce Done Differently, and Dr. Amy Moore, who is a relationship repair coach who works for me, Dr. Sue and you. And I'm so happy to have both of you in studio today. You are saying so many profound things today that are so important. And we are here to discuss this for the next 10 minutes because that's all we have left.
Wow.
Dr. Amy, are you still on the line with me?
I'm here.
Hi.
Hi.
Let's talk now about what we left off with, where I said we want to prevent this for the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. That's why we're here. That's why I do this work too, because I want my clients' kids to not be in the same pattern that they were. I want them to be in relationships where they're heard and they're seen and they know how to show up for their own children in a different way than they showed up for their children now. And they want that too, but they also struggle how to get there. So Dr. Amy, how can they come to the place within themselves now to start doing that work? What, besides being aware of it, what is another step they can do or say to themselves to move along that path?
You know, it's interesting because I was thinking it, sorry, over the break, you know, what would be steps that I could tell people, you know, like a simple 1, 2, 3, do this, this, and this, right? To break intergenerational patterns. And, you know, obviously the moment people become more aware and aware of what's happening, it, you almost instantaneously experience breaking that pattern because that's more awareness than the generation previously had. Right. And so now with awareness, you can start making a different choice. So this, so then the second step would be to kind of look at what your choices are and see it as that, as a choice, rather than just sort of going along with the motions. Right. And now make different choices and kind of use that information rather than just awareness. You know, awareness is key, but then you have to do something with that awareness. Right. Make a different choice. Kind of take ownership of where you are now so that you can become a participant, you know, recognize that you were a participant all along, but, you know, but now with this awareness, making conscious choices. So that was my second step.
That's great. And what a great second step, because what comes after awareness is that you can go down two different paths or maybe even more, and you have a choice upon which path you are going to take to healing or becoming a different parent.
That's exactly right.
You know, one of the gifts that we have in life, Dr. Amy and Lenore, is that we do have choices. And when something is not working for us in the way that we want it to or desire it to be, we have choices along the way to change that. We can choose to stay stuck in the patterns that we've always been in, or we can choose to emerge and take a different path. And I love what Dr. Amy just said there, Lenore, that you do have a choice, that you can take a different path now and show up for yourself differently, and then for your children differently. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's wonderful. And I think the underlying key to that is taking responsibility. You know, a lot of people who have been victimized have that pattern of learned helplessness where, why bother? Nothing's going to be any different. And so they don't do anything. Or, you know, they say, well, you know, I didn't know. Oh, well, they don't take responsibility for their actions. And if you don't take responsibility for your actions, you can't change them. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's just too painful for parents to take responsibility
yes.
for it, because, again, they don't like the reflection that they're seeing of themselves.
It's the mirror.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And you know, the thing that I often say to parents is family histories are like toxic avalanches. If you don't get out of the way, somebody gets buried. It may not be your child. It might be your grandchild or your great-grandchild. But, you know, it builds up. So, you know, taking responsibility for the action is definitely key, and it's empowering.
I yes.
mean, you started out saying about the power. It's empowering to know you have a choice, but you have to take responsibility for the fact that you have a choice and that you've made choices in the past.
So I hear exactly what you're saying. You know what? Everything you just talked about there was taking actions.
Yes.
Love that. So, Dr. Amy, back to you. We're ping-ponging. Can you give the listeners some concrete actions, some simple actions that they can take or say or do or write to take their first steps in healing this generational issue?
So the first step or something that they could write down, you know, one of the exercises I do with people is we walk through kind of their little family history and work on and look at like kind of how they describe people, right? Like adjectives. So they can kind of get a journal and write down all of their family members that they were raised with, everybody who's been significant to them. And it's just a starting point, right? It's just a starting
yes.
point. And just kind of write down maybe 2 to 4 words that would describe each person, including yourself, right? Yourself, your children, your partners, siblings, parents, whoever's important. And see if you can look at how you're characterizing people. Mm-hmm. And are you able to write maybe 2 positives and 2 negatives? Or are all of your, you had said before, Dr. Sue, black and white.
Yes.
Are you looking at the world in black and white? Are you seeing people as all good or all bad? Or do you, as you're trying to describe people, are you coming up with narratives that are, you know, sort of like a bad guy and a good guy? And, you know, these are all tells and clues to see how you're looking back at things. And if you're having objectivity, or if you're looking at it with through the emotional lens, if you're looking at it with your wounds versus, you know, looking at it from a healed lens. So this is sort of just the first step, right? Just to kind of look at how would you describe everybody, including yourself, and can you do that in an objective way?
Great.
I think that's brilliant. I think that, you know, we don't realize the lens we look at people through. It's something we do as easily as breathe. And you're so right that family patterns are mm-hmm. really evident in that. As I thinking in my head about my own family, it's like, yeah, that's a simple exercise that speaks volumes. That's great.
I love that. I think that's such a great step. Write it down, because when you write it down, you can look at it. You can look at the adjectives that are next to the person and really see in print how you're seeing the world.
And then you can see patterns too. It's easier to see it when it's outside of you, because then you can look at it as opposed to it being fused with you. You can see it outside of you and you can go, oh wow, it's interesting, because I'm saying the same thing about all the females in my family or all the males or whatever, you know. And then you can see patterns,
right? So that's our cue now that we have to wrap up the show. This went so quick. We have to have both of you on again to discuss this. Again, on the show today is Dr. Amy Moore. She's a relationship repair coach with Dr. Sue and You and Lenore Myers from Divorce Done Differently. Go check out her new website at
divorcedonedifferentlypa.com.
And everybody who's listening, thank you for being with us today. I am Dr. Sue, your alienation and high conflict divorce coach and radio personality, who's bringing you all the tools and the tips that you need to move through this very difficult situation. Keep being strong, everybody. Keep being kind to yourself and make a choice to open up and do the work you need to do to heal these situations. Thanks, everybody, for being with us here today. Bye-bye.